And we are back here on News Now Thursday on CHRY 105.5 FM. My name is Candace, and in the studio we have Michelle Coyne. Michelle, maybe you could introduce yourself. Who are you and why are you here?
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm actually a PhD candidate in the joint program in communication and culture between York University and Ryerson University. And my research is on freeganism and dumpster dining, which I was talking about last night. So I've been asked to come in and talk to you guys about it.
Okay, so the event last night, it was part of Sustainable Food Week. How did you get involved in the panel discussion last night?
Well, the Sustainable Food Week was an event put on over the last few days down at Ryerson University, and I was contacted by the key organizer to come in and talk about freeganism, mostly through a connection between our supervisors. So I was asked to come down and talk about freeganism as a lifestyle choice in the context of sustainable food. And I was lucky enough to speak with Mustafa Koch and Ruth Silver. Mustafa is a professor down at Ryerson, working with the Food Security Center, and Ruth Silver is joined us from Food Share.
Great. What is freeganism?
That's a great question. Freeganism, and I'll spell it out and talk a little bit about its background. It's spelled F-R-E-E-G-A-N, and it actually has roots in the word free and vegan. Most specifically, it's a practice, a lifestyle that looks at opting out of the capitalist system and looks to gather everything one needs on a daily basis from other people's waste, or more specifically, the waste of the capitalist system. So my particular interest is in freegans who dumpster dive for food, so take advantage of the amount of quality food that is thrown away every day to feed themselves, their friends, their family, and whoever will join them for a meal.
And then how does the vegan part play into freeganism?
The vegan is actually part of the root, the political roots of the movement. So freegans are not necessarily exclusively vegan, but they generally share a political stance on food that feels meat eating is detrimental both to our planet and also to the animals that we're eating. So this is not to presume that all freegans would be vegan, because not all freegans are the same, but rather the political root of the practice comes from there.
And so this idea of dumpster dining, how is it a part of a kind of sustainable food strategy?
The way I spoke about it last night was, and luckily, well, not luckily, but by happenstance, Mustafa was also focusing on the idea that we need to come up with more creative ways to think about our food system, and made the argument that we shouldn't be looking at sustainability because our food system shouldn't be sustained. It's so flawed. What goes on with freeganism is not necessarily a solution for the problems in the food system, but rather a new way of thinking about food, a new way of thinking what's going on in our food system that we don't necessarily see because we don't spend a lot of time looking at our dumpsters. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about how much food is wasted around the world in so many different ways. So freeganism, just because it is so possible to exist on the waste of food from supermarkets, remind us that the system doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So, if it's a response to a food system that doesn't work, maybe you could talk a little bit more about food waste. You know, why are we wasting so much food?
Well, it's not that we as individuals are wasting so much food, which we definitely do, but rather waste is built into the food system as it exists. So worldwide, 50% of food is wasted from field to fork. So what goes on in that process, it's not just supermarkets throwing out food, which is what I talk most specifically about, but rather food isn't always harvested from fields. So there are examples in Ontario where edible food is left in the fields because it's not saleable, not because it's not good food, but because there's no market for it, and it's left to rot. In the distribution system, when you're shipping food around the country, around the globe, different food is damaged, it doesn't make the trip, it gets lost along the way. Within our supermarkets, food that is not in pristine condition is often just tossed, not because it's not edible, but because it doesn't meet the requirements that are thought needed for sale. So it's part of the way the system functions, is things, food just gets lost along the way, and it shouldn't be, and we need to find a way to recapture that.
And so what are some of the practices of freeganism? You know, if, you know, so much food is left in farmers' fields, how is that food reclaimed by freegans?
Well, freegans wouldn't necessarily be focusing on farmers' fields. I do know of groups of people that allow for gleaning in farmers' fields. And often this is people who are brought from different areas to come to a farmers' field. Within freeganism, most of the action takes part in cities, and most of it focuses around grocery store dumpsters. But that's not the only way that food is reclaimed. So there's gleaning from farmers' fields. There's also groups like Food Not Moms who gather food directly from supermarkets or from restaurants and then create collective meals that are then publicly served. So those are the sort of actions that go around various waste reclamation with food. But freeganism can also encompass other ways of opting out of capitalism, which will include things like squatting instead of renting or owning property, not having a car, using bikes, walking, hitching rides, hopping trains. And there's a huge variety of behaviors that can all fall under this umbrella, but that doesn't necessarily mean every individual is going to do it or everyone would ascribe to it, just rather that these practices all are connected through the idea of freeganism.
I was just wondering, you mentioned that we have a particular idea of what makes good food or what is edible food, and that we tend to throw out the things that don't conform to these ideas of food. So where do we get these ideas? Where do these ideas of good food come from? And how do we start thinking about food differently?
Well, a lot of these ideas, they come from a variety of places. I can start with within the grocery store. And without picking on any one store or chain, there are a lot of practices amongst grocery stores that collaborate to create this problem. One of them is best before dates. So I'm sure we're all familiar with milk and eggs, and so many of our products have best before dates. These dates have come to be understood as when we can eat things. So if you have milk after a best before date, then it's no longer good. We as individuals often know that that's not true, and we'll sniff our milk or to make sure it's gone off before we dump it. However, grocery stores don't have the freedom to push those dates. They, in fact, have to pull things from their shelves as soon as the best before date is coming close, because they can't guarantee they could sell it. And it also, once the date is passed, they can't sell it, because they're ostensibly putting people's health at risk, not because they actually are, but rather because that's the system that is in place. If we talk about produce, that's it's a related but slightly different problem, where bruised produce or produce that's been marred in any way is not always saleable, because when we go to the grocery store, if you're going to buy, for example, a pepper, you're going to look for the most perfect pepper you can find. And grocery stores are also going to put out the most perfect peppers they can find on the shelves, because we're paying for something that we expect to have a certain quality. It doesn't mean that a pepper with a ding in it is somehow less good for us, less useful as food than one that doesn't have a ding, but rather that's part of the process of how we determine good food. So those are problems that happen in the store, and one of the reasons why food gets thrown out. And it's also one of the challenges around thinking about what we do with the waste food, and why it can be so horrifying to hear about someone pulling food out of the dumpster, because the automatic assumption that as soon as you put something in the dumpster, as soon as you determine that it shouldn't be on shelves anymore, you're also concluding that it's no longer edible for cultural reasons, not for actual reasons. So what freeganism suggests, and what I'm suggesting, is we also have to change how we think of what is edible and start learning about what actually makes food good, which links us, leads us to all sorts of questions around nutrition and how we understand where our food comes from and how we use it and how we make it. Because in a broader way, we as individuals are very disconnected from where our food comes from and often don't understand the processes of growing. We don't understand how the distribution system works. We depend increasingly on packaged foods. We don't always know how to cook anymore. We don't always have the time to cook anymore. So it's part of a hope, a desire to reconnect ourselves with that which fuels us.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could elaborate maybe on the idea of, you know, the image of somebody going through the trash as, you know, there's a social stigma attached to that. And I was wondering, you know, what kinds of examples maybe have come up in your research and your work around this idea.
Well, it's interesting. I also spoke last night around the challenges of how we understand what it means to eat garbage, because in many ways, a person who is choosing to go to a dumpster is also choosing to not think of that food as garbage. However, not everyone is going to dumpsters because they choose to. There are people who their only access to food is through garbage. And those experiences are different, and I want to make clear that I can't presume to speak for everyone, and I also don't want to dismiss economic limitations to accessing food. But I can say that, moving on to the idea of people who choose to go to dumpsters, they're actually really surprising. You will find, if you choose to go, that dumpsters are not as dirty as we think they are. Oftentimes, grocery stores are not throwing out bags of rotting, disgusting, horrible food, which is also one of the reasons why it can sound so gross to talk about dumpster dining. But oftentimes, perfect, pristine produce will be in a bin, often not bagged. I've found baskets of peppers. I found a full-sized rolling recycling bin full of acorn squashes with nothing else in them, just piles of squashes that had been thrown out for reasons that I don't know, but they looked perfect, and I can make presumptions about what happened. It's also, there are moments where you're going to find the dirty trash, so there will be bags of rotting, gross yuckiness. It's not always pleasant to hop in a dumpster, and it's also a lot more challenging than one might think, because they're high and they're tall, and it requires a kind of agility. But it can also be a really exciting process. It's often a very social process. It feels a lot like a discovery of not knowing exactly what you're going to find. And there's an excitement that goes into tracking down exactly what you'd been looking for that you didn't know you were looking for.
And what happens, say, if the food is not rescued by freegans? What happens to that food?
Well, food, once it's in the dumpster, it's going to be tossed. So some stores have composting bins. So if they've put their disposed of food in the composting bin, it will go into the composting system in the same way our household trash does. However, if it's in a large-scale dumpster, those are picked up by private industry, private companies, and will likely find their way to a landfill. So they'll just go and rot. So, and if left too long in the dumpster, they're going to be unusable even for people who would want to rescue the food. But I also don't want to discount, there are also a lot of stores who are involved in distributing their food before it goes into the dumpster. So there are other ways that food is being used before it even becomes garbage, which is always reassuring.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could talk a bit more about the challenges to freeganism. You know, I'm thinking of locks on dumpsters where certain businesses are strictly opposed to that idea.
Well, freeganism is also falls into some questionable legal lines. So a dumpster that belongs to a grocery store or a private business is actually private property. So a grocery store has the right to put up a fence or a lock on their dumpster, and that often happens because not anyone who identifies as a freegan, not anyone, but most freegans will be very, very careful to leave dumpsters as clean as when they found them, in terms of not spreading garbage around, not leaving a record that they were there. However, the idea of how horrific it seems to us to go into a dumpster and reclaim food also comes into play when trying to lock down access. So not all store owners and managers are comfortable with the idea of someone going through the trash, whether it, if the action affects them or not. So you will find locks on bins and then fences. I've also heard stories, never encountered it, thankfully, stories from the U.S. about rat poison being used in dumpsters. Really, really extreme behavior that is quite threatening to individuals. But it depends on the store. It depends on how many people are accessing it.
Thanks a lot for your time, Michelle, for coming in to talk about freeganism. Do you have any final thoughts or comments that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I would like to say thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to get a chance to talk about this with you and your listeners. And I would just urge everyone who's listening, whether you are comfortable with the idea of freeganism or not, I hope it will start you thinking about things that are going wrong in our food system and ways we can think of new ways of being eating beings in the world.
Great. Thanks so much.